special meeting of Amesburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Counselor Pujay?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's regarding a supplementary agenda for Bellevue.
Sorry, just on this agenda for the special planning meeting.
Nope, I'm okay, thank you.
Okay, seeing no other pecuniary interest, we will get right to 3.1. Rebecca?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of council. The purpose of this public meeting, scheduled in accordance with Section 34 of the Planning Act, is to consider an application for a zoning bylaw amendment from 255-3207 Ontario Incorporated, also known as the Fort Family Fun Center, submitted by Rizzotti Group. The application has requested the establishment of a site-specific zoning to support the development of a go-kart racetrack and campground. The property subject of the application is municipally known as 689 Texas Road. The subject property has 612 feet of frontage, 787 feet of depth, with a total area of 14.65 acres. Pre-consultation was held with the manager of planning services, and the site plan has been reviewed by the internal technical advisory committee. The technical advisory committee consists of administration from Public Works, the fire and building departments. Other departments are brought in as necessary on files, including police, IRCA, and the County of Essex. The purpose of the zoning bylaw amendment is to change the zoning of the southwest portion of the lot from agricultural. So it's only the southwest portion of the lot is going from agricultural to site-specific recreational. The remainder of the property is already zoned recreational for council's reference. The zoning bylaw amendment is required to allow for two restricted uses as defined in Section 3 of the zoning bylaw. The applicant is proposing the construction of a go-kart racetrack on the northwestern portion of the lot and a 202 site campground on the southern portion of the lot. These uses are restricted in the zoning bylaw and are prohibited either alone or in conjunction with other uses unless and until they're specifically listed as permitted uses. The lot in question is currently designated recreational development and neighborhood commercial in the official plan. Small-scale commercial uses are permitted in the neighborhood commercial designation, and recreational facilities, public or private, including marinas, campgrounds, are permitted in the recreational development designation. The official plan states that new development shall provide adequate parking and access points and be designed in a manner that will minimize the danger to both vehicular and pedestrian traffic. The official plan states that recreational development will be permitted in accordance with the following criteria. Recreational activities are to be provided with adequate setbacks from adjacent properties. All uses shall have adequate access roads and be situated on a county road. Water supply and septic or sewage disposal facilities must satisfy the requirements of the town. And new recreational uses will be allowed to proceed subject to an amendment to the zoning bylaw and site plan control, stipulating the height and siting of buildings, landscaping, parking, location of services, access, and grading. The county official plan provides that local municipalities must confirm the availability of required servicing capacity prior to development being approved. The westerlymost extent of the campground would be located approximately 125 feet from an existing ETR line. Further, the proposed site plan identifies a number of campsites within 90 feet of an existing residence. The go-kart track would be located approximately 210 feet from the neighbor to the north. The county official plan requires, with regard to noise, that prior to the approval of planning applications on lands within 100 meters of a railway line or other stationary noise source, that a noise feasibility study shall be completed and submitted to the appropriate agencies. Appropriate measures to mitigate any adverse impacts from noise and/or vibration that were identified shall be undertaken. Setbacks, firming, fencing, or other safety measures may be required to satisfy the approval authority. Correspondence has been received as part of your package this evening from ETR. Their request fence to be installed along the western edge of the proposed development. Town administration, through ongoing consultation with the applicant and their agents, have requested the completion of the noise study to address concerns relating to noise from the proposed use, as some of the recommendations resulting from the noise study may need to be incorporated into the site-specific zoning bylaw amendment, setbacks from adjacent residences for the campsites. Approval of the amendment is not recommended until we have the outcome of this noise study. The Public Works Department has provided comments that the amount of sewage that will be generated by the development is not yet confirmed. Based on the MOECC guidelines, the demand is similar to residential. A flow monitoring study was completed on the Texas Road Sewer in 2015 to allow for additional homes within Kingsbridge subdivision. These homes have now been accounted for, which leaves limited and unknown amount of capacity in the Texas Road Sewer. An additional study and confirmation would be required to determine if there is currently capacity for this development. A meeting was held last week with the property owners and their consultants to discuss the outstanding issues. The notice of public meeting was published in the local newspaper and circulated to required agencies, property owners, and municipal departments in accordance with the requirements of the Planning Act. A small number of neighbors have emailed and phoned the Planning Division. These individuals were advised of the date and time of this public meeting and the option to submit comments in writing if they prefer. Letters were received from three neighbors to date. All correspondence received by the Planning Division has been attached to the planning report. The letter from ETR and IRCA requesting fencing along the western and southern perimeter of the property has also been attached. Administration will continue to work with the applicant to resolve the items identified for further discussion in the planning report. Once these items have been clarified and resolved, it would be appropriate to review the outcomes at a future council meeting. At this time, it is recommended that the rezoning not be approved until the noise study has been received by the town. Further, the applicants will provide confirmation of either sanitary capacity in the Texas Road Sewer or an alternative measure for suitable sanitary treatment. Further comments received at this public meeting will be noted, as well as comments from agencies and departments, and sufficiently addressed in the zoning bylaw amendment and through the site plan control process. This concludes my presentation, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Courtney?
I guess we're sharing to make a note.
That's mine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Rebecca. You're recommending that it not be approved until we get the results of the noise testing?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That is correct. That is one of the issues that we require confirmation. The outcome of the noise study may impact both the zoning bylaw amendment as far as setbacks. We could build in site-specific setbacks as necessary for campsites from residences. That wouldn't be an unusual requirement to put right into the bylaw, and as well, we'll be dealing with the outcome of that through the site plan control process.
And the other one that I'm concerned about, and I don't know if it fits under this, but the fire department continues to express concerns regarding the site plan. So I would really, I'm sure you will look into that and make sure that before anything goes forward, that the fire department, all of that will be taken care of.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, we did meet with the property owners last week and their consultants. The fire department was part of the discussion, and we're resolving the issues as we go along and confirming details about the preferences for the site as well.
Councilor Melange?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The noise, it is a concern. Mr. Jones did indicate to me just earlier that he's looking at changing from electric to gas, and therefore I guess that we're all aware that that's a different study, or that may be the same study, but I guess knowing which means or what equipment he's going to use, I guess is going to be important here, I guess, to everybody. Mr. Jones indicated that gas is actually less noisy or noisy than electric, and I, not questioning that, there's studies being done. So yeah, that issue is a concern. Sewage capacity concerns me from the perspective that we've been fighting for 4 years on, you know, shortage of sewage capacity with the King's Bridge and with everything. We've talked about this force main we want to build. And I guess my concern is how much of a demand is this facility going to put on our system when we're already short? We need the force main, I know, and I guess trying to move that along in order to, you know, encourage further development is also another issue. But again, my question is how much of a demand on the existing capacity that's left is going to be the quick question.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the MOE states guidelines for when it takes into consideration campgrounds, and there's different criteria, whether it's a travel trailer park, which is similar to a seasonal campground, versus a campground, which would be more of a tent or smaller units, and it establishes the liters per day for each one of those sites. So with the discussions that we had with the owner last week, we talked about what their uses were going to be and what their plans were with respect to sanitary in the area. I know that the owner is now talking about potentially not having any sites serviced and only have the dump sites, which is also still an issue with respect to capacity of our plant. The owner has also discussed the possibility of putting holding tanks in and pumping them and delivering that directly to the plant rather than tying into the Texas Road sewer, which is the concern at this point. To just sort of note with respect to the force main, it is out for tender. It actually went out for tender late last week. So that project is moving forward in 2018. So that will that won't immediately alleviate the problem on Texas Road, but it allows the developer in Kingsbridge to move the sewage that's currently going to Texas Road towards the force main, which will alleviate the pressure, but that won't be in 2018.
Thank you.
Councilor Pucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have very many concerns regarding noise and vibration and the campsite and the sewage and the water and fire, but with your indulgence, I'd prefer to hold my questions until we hear from the public.
Okay. First, I will go to the owners, developers, if you have any comments. Yeah. Yeah, if you could go to the mic, please.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for having us. On behalf of the Ford Fund Center, owners, and on behalf of Rosati, we just have a couple main points very quick to go over and highlight. As you all know, the Fenley Fund Fort Entertainment Facility has been in operation for roughly a year and a half. The restaurant, there is a full service restaurant, a brand new bowling alley, new laser tag gaming area, arcade gaming areas, and exterior beach volleyball courts. The addition of the campsites and go-karts will be an additional boost for attraction to Amherstburg's tourism industry, bringing additional families to our area. The campsites would also provide an additional means of accommodation for families. Therefore, families can camp out of the fort and attend other Amherstburg attractions, including wineries, festivals, or just to explore our historic town. With the campsites and go-karts in operation, the Ford would reach somewhere between 70 to 100 employees, which is a great benefit to the municipality as well. The campsites will feature roughly 200 sites, a combination of RV sites, tent sites, pull-through sites for larger RVs, and some seasonal sites. The Fort campsite will grow to be a great attraction, not unlike the former Jellystone, or the now Willowood RV Resort on Simcoe, and or any other KOA campgrounds in Ontario or the US. Just a couple notes on the site itself. The site will be fully fenced and secure for customers, clients, and passerby safety as well. Also addressing some of the concerns from ETR and NERCA along the Greenway Trail as well. The go-karts are going to be motorized, which, as you mentioned, Councilor Millage, that they are less noisy than the electric go-karts that have a winding, loud winding noise. They come with an ultrasound exhaust system with their decibel rating of about 73, just an equivalent to a decibel rating of 73. A vacuum, a household vacuum, has a decibel rating of 75. That's it for today. Thank you.
Councilor Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Mr. Rosani.
Go-chair.
Okay. I don't know whether you said or not. Do you plan on having electrical sites?
Right now, we're still going through all the engineering for the sites, but there is going to be some sites with electrical, yes.
Can I get your full name for the record, please?
Dennis Gauthier from Rosati Construction.
Councilor Millar.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And so that clear, I'm saying this site here is strictly seasonal. There will be no winter.
Through the winter? No.
There'll be no winter accommodations on this site, strictly seasonal.
Similar to Willowood, seasonal.
Councilor Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you to Mr. Gauthier. Thank you for your presentation. You spoke about a fence. Is it going to be a privacy fence or a chain link fence?
We're still waiting for the comments from the sound studies, but either way, it'll be a fence that will be secure.
But you're not sure which?
We're still waiting for the comments from the reporter's office.
Okay, at this time, is there anyone from the public who would like to comment? Okay, could you open with your name and address, please?
Nancy Paquette, 457.
Just press that.
I'm sorry. Nancy Paquette, 457, second concession. I have my property adjoins where they want to put the campground. I didn't realize how early we were in this whole process. I thought it was going a little bit further than this. So I did have a list of questions. I'm not going to get into the reasoning behind the questions. Most of them are pretty obvious. I'll just say what my concerns were. Noise, obvious. Campfires, dogs, pets, dumpsters, restrooms, waste pump out facility, entrance, lighting, fencing, privacy, safety, property tax, mine. Is it gonna go down or up or, you know? The zoning, obviously, they're already talking about this. The roads through the campground, what are they going to be made out of? Is it going to be dusty? Has the ground been tested for contamination? We had the plants all around there. They go digging up stuff. I don't know what's going to be in the air. Security will be policed always, patrolling during, you know, when the campground is open in the summertime for kids wandering around. I don't want them on my property. Tent sites, are there going to be tent sites? I don't want that right next to my house. So those are just some of my questions. I'm not gonna get into all that because we're still really early in this whole process, I see. But thank you.
Is there any other comments from the public?
Hi, Mario Peretti, 774 Texas Road. I have a couple concerns and hopefully it can get resolved. First of all, with the electric carts, which I thought they were going to be electric, now I'm hearing they're going to be gas. I really had no problem with the electric carts, except they're going to eliminate about a third of the parking lot. I noticed on various occasions last year, there was parking on the road for events that they have. So if they eliminate a third of the parking lot, how many more cars are gonna park on the road? Okay, so if they wanna do it, I have no problems with it, but I like no parking along Texas Road. And also, they should put a privacy fence along Texas Road and along the eastern side of the go-karts to obstruct the view when people driving up and down Texas Road. You see these cars going round and round. It's gonna be annoying. I have a cousin that lives across the road. Many occasions we'll go sit in his yard and I really don't wanna watch cars going round and round. So if they put up a privacy fence along Texas Road, that's fine, okay? And again, for the parking. As to the campground, when I look at the picture, it looks like some of the campground is permanent. Like some of the sites are gonna be permanent sites, which I'm thinking are gonna be like the ones at Wildwood. You bring the camper in, you put it on blocks and they stay there forever. So if that's the case, are we just not turning a recreational area into a residential area like they have out at Wildwood? I'm not sure. The seasonal sites, as long as they're properly maintained and everything else, that's okay. But I do have concerns about the sewerage. Is the sewerage capacity gonna come off of Texas Road or off of the second? Because my understanding, when I used to be a member at the Verde Club, when we put the line in for the Verde Club, there was only sufficient capacity for the Verde Club itself. When my cousin built his house across the road, he could not hook up to that sewage line because they said there's no more capacity, not even for one house. So if they put all those campgrounds off of Texas Road, how is it gonna be serviced? The noise restrictions, like the lady before me about the campground, hopefully they'll have bylaws as to times people can blast the radios, and at times they can turn them on and turn them off at night so they don't disturb the neighbors. Bathroom facilities, I talked about availability for people to go take showers. Like usually you go camping, you get up in the morning, you wanna go take a shower. Are they gonna have those facilities? Are there gonna be enough bathroom facilities? Or are we gonna turn the bush and the parkway in the back into outhouses, basically? Sewer hookups we talked about. And Texas Road, I know last year you did a fantastic job, but from the second to the third, Texas Road is all cracked. I got big pothole in front of my house already, and I have cars in the summertime and trucks pulling campers up and down that portion of Texas Road. You're gonna have to resurface Texas Road, okay? You just have to. And I guess, is it better to have the entrance off of Texas or off of the second? You know, because again, Texas Road is not a very good road, and you're gonna have all these cars coming and turning, and it's just gonna cause havoc to the neighbors. And again, as long as they put a privacy fence along the whole eastern part of their property, that's fine. And those are my concerns. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Pluja.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to Mr. Peretti at first. Thank you, Mr. Peretti. But I also want to direct the two questions to our director, Antoinetta. Mr. Peretti just raised an issue about one house across from the Verde Club that couldn't get sewage, couldn't hook up to our sewage. So is that still an issue there, or?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not personally aware of that. I'd have to look into that particular issue, but as Todd alluded to, we did have that study performed on the entire sewer, and there was further capacity at that time enough for spoken for, but as far as that one particular home, I'd have to take a look at what the reasoning for that might have been.
And the second part? And the second part of the question is regarding, we do plan on doing reconstruction on Texas Road, correct? In that section, is that in the works? Because I know in our report, oh, I guess Todd will answer that, but in our report, Todd, it does state that this could be an obstacle. So could you please address that?
Sure, absolutely. Through Mr. Mayor, I'll take this one because the roads need study. I looked after that, so in the capital budget, I'm pretty well aware of. This section of Texas Road is ranked one of the highest sections in our roads need study for repair. I would anticipate that it will be brought to budget in the next year or so for rehabilitation. Again, as always, those budget decisions are going to be at council's discretion, but it's certainly, with respect to the roads need study, it ranks right near the top.
Just further to that, I just wondered what effect would it have on this proposal?
The construction of or the condition of?
Well, the condition right at this time, but in the event that the new council, I believe it will be the new council that will deal with the budget, if this isn't completed, if it goes through and it's not completed by a certain date, will it hold it up? Or will it hold up if we proceed, the new council proceeds with the reconstruction of that road?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, other than I think the additional traffic that it would see for the cars, and again, we would generally think that most of the traffic would come down Texas from County Road 20 to the site. They could come the other way as well, but we would think that the majority of the traffic would come from County Road 20 direction. It's a small section of road there that they would impact. And travel trailers are typically not, they're certainly not as heavy as a dump truck or something of that nature. They also have axle limits for that. And to say that it would hold up, the road's in poor condition already. We would maintain it to the minimum maintenance standards until such time as we can repair it. But to say that the additional, other than really it would have more traffic than normal, I don't think that the heavier load would impact it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
There was a comment made that he thinks most of the traffic's going to be coming from County Road 20. I would think most of it would be coming down the 401, down Howard, and coming from the third there, not from highway. So it's going to impact a larger portion of Texas Road than he thinks it's going to impact. Because why would people coming from out of town come down the highway? They're going to come down the 401, obviously.
Is there any other comments from the public?
Good evening, my name's Bob Azar. I live at 530 Texas Road. I want to start off by saying I think what the owners have done with the old Verde Club is fantastic. I'm not here to, you know, question their investment or anything like that. Our main concern is the noise. When the pavilion is rented, we do on occasion hear music, and it hasn't been any louder or any more frequent than when it used to be the Verde Club. So it's not as big an issue, but we can hear it at our place. And that's my main concern with the go-karts. If that's going on every weekend and every evening after work, we do spend a lot of time in our backyard, and I just don't want to be able to hear it. So I'm glad that they're doing a noise study, whether it's, you know, sound barriers or whatever it is. I'd just like to see something in place to prevent the noise from the site affecting myself and all of our neighbors.
Thank you. Is there any other comments from the public? No? Okay. Rebecca, you had something to add?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If it's okay with council, I just wanted to reply to a couple of comments that have been raised this evening. Mr. Peretti expressed a concern with respect to the modular homes or the trailer sites being permanent, but the Rosati group would have had to apply for a different zoning. The zoning will not permit modular homes
Mr. Gauthier?
Thank you, ma'am. Just to address some additional big comments and concerns, yes, there will be shower facilities. They're gonna be over near the bunker building. There'll be men and female shower facilities and washroom facilities. It'll be policed at night, yes, like Willowwood, there's little park rangers that go around, make sure people are quiet. People are taking care of their kids and kids are running wild. But yeah, so there will be like park rangers and whatnot. The fence, the site will be fully fenced. We are leaning toward privacy fences all the way around. But again, we're waiting for to see the sound study to see exactly what their recommendations are. The internal roads will be gravel. They will be posted 5 kilometer an hour the speed limit, so there will be no speeding. I guess that addresses some of the questions that came up. The rest of the stuff will be, as we continue to finalize the engineering, will be developed and worked on with Rebecca and Todd from Public Works as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you to Mr. Gauthier. I'm still not sure about these electrical sites, okay? Because what's that going to do to the price of our electricity, to the town's electricity bill, and consequently the taxpayers, if our electricity bill goes up? Would we be using that much? Like, how many sites are we looking at approximately that would be electrical sites?
We haven't determined exactly how many of them will have power, but we're talking only a 15-amp plug that someone can plug in, a small electric fryer, you know, when you camp, cook some eggs in the morning, as a small radio, very small power requirements. And it is a private bill that the farm will be paying for.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, of course.
Hi, my name is James LaJoy. I live at 457 Second Concession. I agree with Bob. Terry and Brad are doing a great job. We go there all the time. One concern is we live directly south, is campfires. I've had some friends apply for campfires and they were denied. Are all these sites going to have campfires? Because we really don't want a small campfire day after day, night after night, and if they're burning garbage and plastic, that's kind of our main concern of ours. All right, thank you.
Okay. I don't know if there's an answer for that yet or if we're just working on it.
Yes, there will be campfires. We are discussing it with the fire chief. We had met with them last week. Every site will have a individual license, similar to the new bylaw that was recently released this year. But yes, and then we're working on spatial separations for them. We're also looking at combination sites where we can minimize them and have community camp sites. But it will not be bigger than 3 feet by 3 feet, an old tire rim, if you will. No bigger. Yeah. And again, we are working with the fire department.
Councilor Pugin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to the fire chief. Chief Montone, at one time we discussed if there were any problems with residents that experienced health problems due to campfires. If any of these residents in the area have severe health problems, would they be able to apply in order to prevent campfires in this area?
So the final, the requirements in the final bylaw that council passed identified sensitive receptors, which are facilities / institutions, not individuals. However, now contained in that same bylaw is requirements for creating what we would call adverse effects for neighbors. And so that would be what we would use with respect to situation you've described. We have provided all of the parties concerned with current standards for campgrounds, campsites, as well as the burn bylaw and some other industry standards to consider. And so as their plans unfold and are finalized, we'll then be in a position to tell them if we have any issues relative to compliance. But at this time, we have had some initial discussion, and we've exchanged some information in terms of some of our concerns and some of their concerns. We've provided this, the standards and the best practices to them. And so we look forward to additional discussion.
Okay, is there any other questions from council? Councilor Pucci?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, a noise feasibility study is based on all standardized information from the Ministry of the Environment and Climate Change. There's noise levels. They look for all of the closest stationary receptor points and assess noise level from they've been directed, the noise consultant, to assess the full build-out of the proposed land use. So the full operation of the go-kart track and the campground as well. They've also been directed to assess the impact of noise from the active ETR line on people camping and to provide that information back to the planning department.
Okay, Councilor Fusion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do want to commend the fort because I know that you are very, your initiative is really well-intended, and I wish you well. But at the same time, we have residents that have lived there for years, and they believe that they were protected under 3.7 of our zoning bylaw, and that currently restricts the uses that you now want us to allow. So we have to be very, very careful on how we proceed with this, but we have to make sure that everything is addressed, the noise, the sewage, the water, the traffic, the campfires, everything that they brought up and what's in our report. Mr. Mayor, I'm asking if I can address this question to Rebecca, through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, I called you today about this. And my concern was the number of dogs that would be allowed because every camper seems to bring a dog with them. And I asked you today about the kennel, which could be more than five dogs or something like that, and how many feet it would be have to be away from the nearest homeowner. We have a homeowner that's about 90 feet from the campground. So could you elaborate on the for a kennel, which is how many dogs and how many feet they have to be away instead of the 90 feet? How many feet they have to be away from this?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the zoning bylaw in agricultural areas allows for boarding kennels when they're not attached part of the dwelling or attached to a dwelling. So in a separate accessory building, they have to be 2,000 feet from the closest residence, a boarding kennel, 2,000 feet from the closest residence where the kennel is not located. That's what's required. As far as dogs being brought to this site, it is part of the overall development, really. People could bring dogs, and so we're assessing the overall level of noise.
dog kennel is how many dogs? Is it five or over?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the zoning bylaw doesn't restrict the number of dogs. So it's not restricted in the zoning bylaw, and we don't have a current, restriction on number of dogs for boarding kennels.
So what I'm getting at is, council was concerned when we dealt with this in the past about a boarding kennel, how many, you know, that, it was 2,000 feet. Because if one bark, a dog barks, even if there's just four or five dogs, they all bark. And that's, I think, one of the concerns from the residents, is that in a campground, there's numerous dogs. So if one starts barking and they all start barking, that does increase the noise. So that's why I just wanted to point out, in a boarding kennel, it's 2,000 feet, and yet we have a house that's 9 feet away from this.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We can, barking, noise from barking dogs is something that's addressed in our noise bylaw, and should there be a complaint, we could address it.
Councilor Levine?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. What I've heard from most of the residents, they're okay with the group that owns the fort now and what they've done so far. So I'm hoping that we have some confidence that this process will hear your concerns and they're going to address them, right? Where this isn't going to go anywhere right now. This is just to support the idea and to let the noise study go forward and to let them get on the process here to see if it's some feasible for the neighbors and the owners and everybody involved with that. We can debate it all day, but I mean, I have a travel trailer and I have a lot at Holiday Beach, which is a sensitive, protected area. There's 100 of us in there, and I'd say 75 of them have dogs and campfires on a nightly basis. And I have kids, and we were up there this weekend, and it wasn't, everyone is very respectful. Most campers are respectful. I get the seasonal and the nightly thing that you got, but I think that if we can address this going forward with privacy fences, noise restrictions, that kind of stuff, so it doesn't affect your quality of life, I really hope that we can work together on this. I mean, it is something good. I mean, what they did with the fort already is pretty substantial. It could be a vacant spot, really, if the verdict closed. So I'm gonna ask to move the motion. And it's just a conceptual support of this so that we can move forward with the process. And all the neighbors are gonna be involved in this, am I correct, Rebecca? With the noise bylaw and anything that's going forward here. Like, this is not in any means saying we're gonna do this. This is just moving the process forward, right?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor. Okay. We're just holding the public meeting to obtain
comments,
the public
and then you can address these comments, right? Such
yes.
as the campfires and the electric versus gas and all this stuff. Okay, well then I'll move the motion.
Second, Councilor Melange. And did you have a comment, Councilor Melange?
Yes. And with Rebecca, the public meeting will be held after we have all of the noise evaluation studies, the sewer studies, all of, so that we'll, when we go to the public, we'll have everything in hand to give them?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we don't normally hold a second public meeting, but if council would prefer, we can hold another public meeting. Typically, what we do is summarize how all of the concerns have been addressed and bring back a bylaw. However, information will continue to be posted on the planning portion of the town's website as we obtain it as well. And any member of the public can certainly call me anytime and chat about this file as well.
Councilor Bougie?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I cannot support this conceptual idea unless we agree, council agrees, the mover and the seconder, to hold a second public meeting, because I think there's just too many unanswered questions. I mean, these people purchased their lots and their homes believing they were protected by number 3.7 of our zoning bylaw, and everything is changing, and they have a lot of concerns. So I think that it's vital that we have this second public meeting so they can review all the documentation, make sure that everything is addressed the way they want it to be addressed before council proceeds. It's just a very simple request, and I think that they are entitled to that.
Councilor Levine?
I agree, they're totally entitled to that, and it will be a public meeting when this comes back, if I'm not correct. This will not be voted on in private in a closed session. This is the public meeting to hear the comments. We're hearing their comments. Their concerns are noise, go-karts, casters, electric, campfires, where everything's gonna be positioned, the road condition going in, are we gonna address these certain types of things? And from what I'm hearing, all of our administrators are saying, yes, we're gonna be working as a group to address the road, to address any noise, but concerns that any one of these neighbors has. The smoke is, the fire department's on top of that. All of these concerns that we're hearing are gonna get addressed, they're gonna be in a report, and they're gonna be presented at a public meeting, correct? And if we could notify them of when that is, I'm okay with that. I mean, if these handful of residents would like another public meeting, if that would alleviate them, I mean, if we vote on this, it's in public, right? We would never do it behind closed doors, and it will be on the agenda. To be honest, you'll get more support at a public council meeting than just a public meeting like this, where there's no media, there's no one else except for the affected residents, right? If you want, you know, support from the group around this table. So if that's what it takes to get this through, I will agree to it, but I mean, it is gonna be voted at a public meeting. I just wanted to make sure we're aware of that.
That is all correct, and just so the residents understand, you can also delegate at that meeting as well, so you will have another opportunity to speak again before a decision is made by council. That's pretty much our standard practice. Yes.
When we get notified, can we get a registered letter? I was notified by a hand-delivered letter that was delivered to my neighbor instead of myself. And then I received a phone call today, this morning after 9 o'clock, saying, well, I'm just informing you of a meeting tonight that Rebecca called me today to inform me. She said, you wanted to be informed of any meeting, there's one tonight. But the actual letter was hand-delivered to the neighbor for me. So I would, registered letter would be nice to have to sign for it or something. Make sure we get it.
Through your worship, that's not something that we typically do. We do publish it in the Rivertown Times. It's on our website. And I think I just need to back it up just to provide a point of clarification, because as Council Levine did say, you will have another opportunity when the bylaw does come back. We are going through public consultation this evening to more generate what the comments of the community are in regards to this development. Professionally, we do have the administrative capacity here to deal with all the development concerns that will affect our official plan, and that will affect the safety and security of those individuals. The fire chief will be looking at this. We are looking at it administratively. Public Works is looking at sewage capacity, and the other requirements are going to be necessary. In no way, shape, or form are we going to bring back a development that's going to jeopardize what we think is any part of the community there. But we do go through this planning process, and this planning process helps us help the developer see how they need to move this development forward. And I think it is part of the planning process. It's prescribed by the province. We do follow what the province says to a T. Actually, we consult, I think, even above and beyond most other municipalities here in Amherstburg. So you will have another opportunity at a public meeting, but I can't tell you we're gonna let you know by registered mail. That's just something we don't do. That would cost the municipality a significant amount of money.
Councilor Kucha?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really have a problem with this. I mean, these people shouldn't have to be watching every single thing that we're going to be doing from now till kingdom come to see whether or not, oh, is it going to be on the agenda this week? Oh, maybe in 2 weeks. Oh, maybe not. Maybe during the summer when we're on vacation. I just think that if we cannot have another public meeting at 5 p.m., like we just did, and clear this up, and allow them to question all of the reports that are coming back to us, and then we vote at 6 p.m. on it. If we can't do that, then at the very least, we have all their names, we have their email addresses and their contacts. Why can't we contact them? I will contact them if you give it to me, to make sure that as soon as the agenda comes out, that these people know that this is the date we are dealing with this, and therefore, they won't be broadsided by it.
I'll add to my motion that the list generated of the residents here be contacted directly by administration when this appears on the next agenda. As part of my motion.
Is that okay, Councilor Lyon? Okay. Any other comments, questions? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. And motion to adjourn. Councilor Levine, Councilor Melange, all those in favor? Carried.